One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
All right. You start.
I think we need to rock, paper, scissors.
Really?
Yes, rock, paper, scissors.
Okay. Do you want it? Do you want to win? Or you want me to go?
So whoever wins introduces the episode.
Okay.
Because I have something clever up my sleeve.
Then just do it.
No. Okay. I'm going to win. Oh, Matt.
It's rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Okay. Let's do it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ha! Did you think that I was going to change it?
No, I did it on purpose.
All right. Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Midwest Married. We're excited that you're joining us today. Hey, Matt, I propose that we talk about a topic that is very unique to us, I think.
Oh,
yep.
Really?
I've got a couple stories that I think are right up your alley.
All right, let's do it.
I might be having a little bit too much fun with these puns. Okay. Should we dive in with the story?
Let's dive in right now. Let's
go. All right. My girlfriend, 27 female, is unhappy that I, 27 male, haven't proposed yet. I have a ring and I'm planning to propose this summer on holiday. She said to me a few days ago that she feels like we are living like a married couple without being married. Should I just propose now? Any initial thoughts?
It doesn't sound familiar at all. Go on. I don't know what you're talking about.
We met when we were 17 and have been together since. I think she was expecting me to propose on our 10-year anniversary, but I've been overwhelmed dealing with career changes and my parents getting divorced. She has been very supportive, but something's gone wrong after that 10-year anniversary passed. We've been living together as well, and I have always wanted a future with her. I've said this throughout our relationship, but now she's doubting whether I really meant it because I didn't propose sooner. She said yesterday that she only moved in with me because it was important to me, and that because she is religious, living together before getting married wasn't ideal for her, but she wanted me to be happy. We've been discussing marriage for a while, and even though I have always said I want to marry her, she has recently started wondering if I've been dragging my feet because we got together very young, and I wasn't sure about marrying without having dated around. I don't have any doubts, and I never have. And until recently, she didn't doubt my love or commitment, so I'm not sure what I should do now. She is a very loving and caring partner, and it really hurts me that this is affecting her and our relationship. I've booked us a holiday this summer where I plan to propose. I have a ring ready, and I'm excited about it. However, I don't want resentment to build up, and I'm worried that in trying to plan this as perfectly as I can, I might be doing more harm than good. Should I just propose now rather than waiting until July? What do you think?
I think he needs to stick with his guns and follow through with his perfect proposal. Obviously, that is the right choice. I mean,
I don't think this is so cut and dry, but tell me more.
I'm just basing it off our own experience. You're a liar. This is very familiar.
That's what I said from the first place.
Oh, I thought you said it wasn't very familiar to you.
No, I said that it was.
Oh, I misheard you.
Oh.
I was like, this is so familiar. This
I am Honest Abe. I always tell the truth.
Okay, very good. I think that they've been together for 10 years. I don't know the history of their relationship, the backstory, if they've had any on time, off time, separation, or if they've been together for 10 full years. It's interesting. There's a lot of dynamics. It's not cut and dry. It's not black and white.
Tell me about the gray.
It's gray.
Tell me about the 50 shades.
I just think that not everybody was brought up the same way. Not everybody has strong feelings about marriage, if they should be married or get married, for instance, or when is the right time to get married. I guess I'll say maybe he was brought up in a household that always said, all right, you need to have your ducks in a row before you get married. And maybe he was following a structured plan of, okay, I need to go to graduate high school, go to college, graduate college, get a job, get my career started, have, you know, at least 3 months of a salary saved up before I can buy a ring, and then have a house, and or then propose and do the deal.
I mean, so, 10 years.
10 years is a long time. In this instance, from what it sounds like, I think he really needs to reassure her that he is committed. He has a plan. If it's going to salvage the relationship and some of the emotional stress, say, I have the ring. I just want to make that day as special as possible for you.
Okay. What about giving a timeline? What do you think about that? Saying it's going to happen before Labor Day.
Sure.
Do you think that's better or worse?
I guess it's all going to depend, right? Because then how does she take that? Does that give her relief? Or then is she always every single event on pins and needles? Because I remember an event in February one time, and someone thought that I was going to propose at that event, and it didn't happen on a certain date, and they had built that date up in their head, and about midway through that event,
he's talking about me, people. And Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day at my sister Morgan's sorority auction.
That was the auction was great, but that was a bad day for us.
I can't even comprehend in my brain why you would have picked that event.
Maybe because it was Valentine's Day.
But we were at my sister's sorority.
Family was there.
I'm sorry. That's not going to fly.
Okay. So then the question is, who does that proposal become for then? Is it more for your partner or is it more for you?
All right. I'll answer that question. I think that it's very dependent. I think maybe a little bit of both.
Interesting.
So I can only take my people. Let's just like cut to the chase. Okay. So me and Amy were together for about a decade, give or take 2 years before we were married. No, before I proposed.
Mm-hmm. It was longer than 10 years. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I proposed at 10 years.
No, at 11.
10 and a half.
It was 11. We were 28. And we were 17 when we first started dating.
But we were 16 when I first started pursuing you. So that's even worse.
Well, even worse. Shoot. So it's like a dozen? Baker's dozen? I don't know.
All right. So it's like a dozen.
By the time we got married?
It was 12 when... Yes. All right. Shit.
Keep digging that hole.
Dang it. It was 11 years, people.
All right.
And
we
12
did not,
when we got married.
I did not have any sort of timeline. You wouldn't give me any sort of timeline. We have arguing actually quite a bit about like, when is this going to happen? You chose not to give me a timeline.
Yeah, that was could have been a mistake. I had plans. I had a ring. I told you that.
Uncanny with the story.
I told you that a plan a plan was coming.
Yes, but
that I had a plan.
We'd already been dating for 10, 11 years.
I'm sweating. These topics make me so.
So, like, hot. So in my perspective, what kind of timeline were we talking about?
Well,
because
let's be fair. Let's rewind. Okay, we had been together for like 8-ish some odd years, and there was a good solid a break in there where you moved away and then you came back.
That is true. So we did have some on and off in our younger 20s, and then when I went to PA school, we were very much unofficial.
But official-ish.
Right. We were dating.
Sure we were.
I was making sure that you were exactly the one that I wanted to be with.
Shenanigans.
After like 10 years. No, just kidding.
We don't talk about those dark days.
Oh, yeah. It's for the best. Okay, so however, I think that if he were going to stick with his original plan, mm-hmm. that it would be beneficial to him to give her some sort of timeline, hardcore timeline. So whether that is, okay, it's going to be within 6 months. We've talked about marriage. I want this for us. I want to build a future with us. And I have a plan, but you have to give me 6 months and then propose within that time period.
But do it in like two.
Yeah, that would be better.
That'd probably be better,
right? That would be better. Yeah. Okay. What do you think about, he said, I think she was expecting me to propose on our 10-year anniversary, but I've been overwhelmed. Okay, she's been very supportive, but something's gone wrong after that 10-year anniversary passed. Does that feel familiar?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, it's like a
what's wrong?
It's like a decade.
Sure is.
So after 10 years, I would imagine that in your brain, that date holds a lot of significance, and you want to get married. She wants to get married. So you're looking for that to happen, and you build it up again in your head. Like, this is the day. It's going to happen. It's got to happen. And it doesn't happen. That's bad news bears.
That's hard. That's heartbreaking.
That's hard.
It is heartbreaking. I will tell you from your sister's sorority auction, it is heartbreaking when you build it up and you expect, oh, this would be the perfect event, and then, or the perfect anniversary, the perfect timeline. It would be romantic in my brain. It makes sense. And then nothing. And I think for me, it was, I didn't have any sort of sense of control over the situation. So, I mean, we've talked about it. It's a big deal. It's how your future is going to look.
Mm-hmm.
And not having control over your future, I think, can be really hard.
Yeah, I agree. I don't blame you. Like, looking back on it, I can see how that would have been stressful. On the other hand, like, I was raised a lot differently than you were. Marriage was not very prevalent in my upbringing, unless right. it was my grandma and my grandfather. From other relationships that I was around at that point in time, marriage wasn't a great thing to be. It wasn't great to be married. It was kind of a downer. You were always the one, right? There was always something about you. There was always, we just always gravitated towards each other.
Mm-hmm. We could never let each other go.
So.
No, I think that you're onto something with this. I think that we did grow up really differently, where my parents are still very successfully married, and I grew up seeing the love that they had for each other wasn't. Of course, nobody has a perfect love for each other, but definitely they have withstood the test of time, and it was a very happy environment to be in. And I really didn't see a lot of divorce around me. I really didn't see a lot of that turmoil as a kid. So, yeah, I think that we did grow up really differently in our perspectives of marriage. Probably were different where I was like, well, of course it'll work. It'll work because we're going to make it work. Yeah. That's just what you do. You work towards it. And if you love each other, then it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's a little bit of a naive perspective, but that's, I think, what I grew up with. And yeah, you had an entirely different perspective.
Yeah, I guess I never really...
Well, your mom never even did get married.
Correct.
So, when you were younger, so...
Yeah, I guess I'll say this. I had a hard time envisioning what marriage looked like for me.
Yeah.
Or what that road was, or how I would do it, or if I had my ducks in a row. I'm very content when I say this, okay?
Yeah.
When I say this, I'm very content in our relationship now, and content, it might be the wrong word, but I'm very happy with where we're at, right?
Yeah.
But like a lot of things in my life, I always strive to like better. So like my career, I never felt like I was at a place where I was stable enough. And back then I was making, well, let's just say 40 or 50,000. Right. I wanted more before like we got married, or like wanted to be able to provide more. I wanted a better car or a better, you know what I mean? Like I wanted a better house. I wanted a better.
It's a really interesting perspective because like my siblings, Andrea and Cliff, they got married when they were 22. So they had nothing and they were just poor together. And it was.
Yeah. And maybe that's some like, what's the word I'm looking for?
And they grew together.
Is it self-confidence? Maybe it's confidence. Self-confidence, self-image. I'm not sure. Maybe I didn't feel like I was like good enough or ready to be there. But now where I'm at today, I'm happy with our, you know, where we're at.
So did you always just want more in our relationship and marriage then?
I don't know what that question means. So... Trickery. All right, anyways.
Yeah.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Also looking back, I think that both people really need to be ready for that big step. So I think back to our young 20s, and there was a period of time where I, again, thought you were going to propose, because at that point in time, we'd been together, 5 years. My sister had been married around the same age, which now, like in retrospect, I really think that that's very young, and I'm very happy for the way that things did turn out. But I remember a certain surprise event where I had, like, you were talking to my best friend, Nikki, and I knew there was something going on, and I knew that there was, like, something positive going on, but nobody would really tell me what was going on. And so I was anticipating a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
It was a surprise birthday party that her friend was throwing. I had nothing to do with
so
it,
bad.
But I took the wrath for days.
Well, I thought I was ready for getting married. And actually, if I was honest with myself, I don't know that I really felt I was ready to get married. I think that I felt like it was the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was expected of me. Maybe, you know, I had graduated college or was going to graduate college soon. And we'd been together. And that was just the next thing that you do. You get married and then you buy a house together. And then you have kids or whatever. Like you follow that timeline. It's just the expectation.
Right.
I remember feeling in my heart like, oh, I like a little bit of angst about it. But honestly, I was dumb and I would have plowed forward with it and I would have absolutely married you back then.
And we'd be divorced 2 years later and just...
We for sure would. Yeah, I think that we both agree that we were both just not ready at that point in our lives.
Proof that someone else other than me needed to grow up.
I never deny that. I also had to grow up too.
I know. So at the end of the day, all right, so let's talk perfect proposal. He's trying to get this perfect proposal and he has a plan. He wants to do it his way. Maybe it is a little bit for him. Both parties need to be ready.
Maybe his parents' divorce really does have something to do with it. Maybe he's questioning marriage in general. Who knows? He doesn't mention that, but he did mention that his parents were getting divorced around that time.
So I don't know really how to ease this, the lady's feelings here. I don't know how to ease that unless he's going to propose. Unless he comes out and just says, I have a ring, I'm going to propose. Here's my timeline. You need to give me this. I want to make it a special day. Let me do my thing. I have a plan that I want, the way that I want to propose. Maybe that will help. Otherwise, he just needs to suck it up, figure out how to make her happy for the next 3-ish months at when this was posted. It was, you know, posted in the spring. So here we are.
I think they definitely need to communicate.
Yeah, communication is good, and that's key. I didn't communicate, but let's talk about your proposal. It was perfect. Perfection, people.
Okay, tell them about it. They want to know. How did you propose?
I mean, there was a lot of preparation that went into this, a lot of listening. Gentlemen, if you're going to propose, you listen. You know the type of ring they want. You know that they want it to be intimate or they want it to be public. You know that they want a birdcage at their wedding. So you find a birdcage and put candles and flowers and a whole bouquet together.
Like a cute little birdcage, not like a... And like it's right there. You should show them.
All right.
I use it as decoration.
Right now? Hold on.
Look at that cute little birdcage.
And you have the most gorgeous flowers around that, in that. Candles lit, the whole deal. It's Christmas Eve. You have gaslighted this lady for months, telling her that she will never have a dog and you will never have dogs.
I do not recommend that.
Regardless
part.
Of how bad she wants a puppy of a certain breed, of a certain color, never going to happen. You don't want it. But then secretly, you plan it out and you get a puppy. One day before Christmas Eve and drive 10 hours each way to get the dog. You come home, you write a love letter, you trick her to come into the house.
A lot of trickery going on.
Surprise.
It would have been perfect maybe, 6 months or so earlier, but you cannot rush the perfection of the puppy. That is true.
All right. So anybody that's out there to propose or not to propose, now you know the path, you know what you got to do. Communicate.
Okay. But here's the proposal from my perspective is that you text me and you're like, hey, I need a little bit of help preparing, whatever it was for Christmas. And, I live right down the road from my parents. And so I hopped in my car and I drove all the way down here, and I remember feeling a little bit like, oh, come on, Matt, it's Christmas Eve. What do you need help with? And then I hopped out of the car, and there were candles, and of course, then you just know, right? Like, oh, here it is. Here finally it is. And so there were candles all along the sidewalk, and I walked on in. And you handed me a letter, a love letter, and it was beautiful. And then you started to propose. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little whimper of this little sweet puppy. And I go, oh, my gosh. And Harlem was not supposed to you know, ruin the surprise like that. I'm sure you had that planned a little bit differently.
I did.
And, but you were like, oh, should I just get the puppy now? And I was like, no, keep going, keep going. Like, you better actually propose here, because you hadn't at that point.
This is true.
Then you got down on one knee. You said some very beautiful, nice words and things, and you proposed. And I said, yes. And then we went and we got the, you know, met Harlem, the most sweet, cute little puppy that you've ever seen. And immediately after, then we were able to go and celebrate with my family, who already knew that this proposal was coming, right?
Your mom, your brother Kevin, Brent, and your dad.
Right.
Nobody else knew. Your sister didn't know. Your sister-in-law didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good. Are there any other points that we need to hit in regards to propose or not to propose?
Okay, so let's go to the comments. And people were really fighting about this one. So people fought about this so much that the moderator said, we're going to lock this because people can't seem to comment without lobbing personal attacks against OP or other commenters. Also, the rampant sexism and uncivil projection displayed by too many folks. So people had real strong opinions. So let's see what some of the most popular ones were. One, these things don't have to be a complete surprise and probably shouldn't be on many levels. You can tell her it's coming soon and still surprise her on the day. And then we have a reply. No, the clock started ticking on a proposal 5+ years ago. Telling her it's coming to her could be a huge empty promise that she may have heard before. He needs to do this now. And then another comment. I agree. He's ready. She's been ready. He's just waiting for a moment. I think she'll be happy with a more low-key proposal now. Which, honestly, after 10 years... I was going to be happy with any sort of proposal.
You were going to propose.
I was. I had a plan. I had a timeline in my brain. And I think I might have even told you what my timeline was. That would be an option, too, for her to regain a little bit of that control if she felt kind of that feeling of, well, loss of control over her future a little bit. Say, okay, you have until such and such date. This is what I feel is reasonable. If you don't feel the need to propose before then we need to go our separate ways. In my case, I wasn't going to make you go our separate ways. I had a plan, and I still think that it was very cute and very clever.
Go on.
So if you hadn't proposed by New Year's, guys, you waited until like...
Christmas Eve.
I know. How many days until New Year's after Christmas Eve? Like six? Something like that.
The 31st.
Seven? Yeah. Oh, math. It's never been my strong suit. Anyway, so this is what I was going to have. What I was going to do was I was going to get him a watch. Not a ring. A watch. And then I was going to take him on a date and go geocaching. So I think most people know what that is, but basically it's...
Scavenger hunt.
A scavenger hunt. It's basically like coordinates on a cell phone or whatever, or, you know, on an app.
And hints.
Things are hidden places, and you just go and go on like a hike or whatever, and you try to find that particular item. So I was going to have this item hid, this watch hid, and we were going to go geocaching, and you were going to find it. And then when you looked at the watch, you were going to turn it over, and on the back, I love my puns. It was going to say, it's about time.
Think about all the people you've just inspired.
Do it. And if somebody actually does do this, please take pictures, videos, let me know how it goes. I would love to hear. I am almost a little sad that I didn't ever get to follow through with this plan because I thought it was brilliant. Come on. It's about time.
It's good.
It's about time. Here's another idea. I would do it now and celebrate the engagement this summer on your holiday. She's waited long enough.
Okay. And that's fine. He can do that. Go ahead.
All right. Really and truly, this 10 years is too long, and it's probably crossing an unspoken timeline in her heart. Plus, at 10 years, others are probably getting in her ear suggesting he doesn't want to marry her.
Yeah, 27. Ooh. They're probably experiencing their first group of friends that are getting divorced.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Here's an unpopular opinion.
Go on.
But honest nonetheless, 10 years is a very long time. Moving in before marriage is a huge step. Maybe even concession for her, one she committed to without a proposal. She's right to have doubts. Why are you stalling on this? What about waiting balances out the doubts you're causing for her by holding off? Are you choosing summer because it's the right time for you? Seriously, she's been open and honest, and it's not easy to ask, are you going to propose? And yet she is asking because it's clearly a high priority for her and she wants to be your wife. Don't bait with, I'll ask you soon. It leads to mistrust and you're seriously making her wait even more. Propose already and still take the holiday you're planning to celebrate your engagement. She's important to you. You'd better show it soon or she'll find someone else who will show her.
Makes sense. I can't argue with that.
Okay. I would warn you against waiting without saying anything. Many women start to feel sad and resentment when they have been kept hanging for years. And once it starts, that resentment only grows with time, particularly if it looks like there's no progress. A lot of men do lie and put it off and wait and tell their girlfriends for years that a proposal is coming. And she may well be on the Reddit feed waiting to wed, feeling sad that it hasn't happened. So, and I agree a little bit with that. That's why I think the communication about the timeline is key, because without that, like during that period of time, I remember thinking back and the fights that we had were always about the proposal and when we were going to get married and the next step. And then once we were engaged, what did we fight about?
Nothing.
Then we just got married and we moved on.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Life was good.
I guess what I'll say, and I was going to say it earlier, I started to say, oh, maybe that's a problem. Maybe it's a generational thing. Like over time, it's only ever been the men's responsibility to propose. And that's like women wait for it. I also think that women want a proposal so much more than a guy. I think that little girls, from my experience, like play dolls and they think about their marriage and they play dress up and they
have been conditioned to plan their wedding and this is what they're encouraged to do and they're encouraged to think about it and dream about it and Prince Charming.
And I never dreamed about it once.
All of that stuff. Yeah. So it's already been on our mind for years and years and years when we are brought up in a very patriarchal society.
You could have been a trendsetter. You could have changed generations.
I know, with my watch proposal.
With your watch proposal. But you blew it.
I should have moved my timeline up.
So, yeah, right person, right time, right place.
Right.
All three.
We were always the right person. We weren't always in the right time or the right place together until we were. Okay, well, let's read this surprise one from Morgan.
All right.
Okay, I have not read it at all yet, so I already apologize if I stumble over anything. So, am I the asshole for not wanting my boyfriend to propose with his mom's ring? My boyfriend has a beautiful wedding ring in his family that has been passed down to him. He was married before me, and it was her wedding ring until they separated. We were recently talking about marriage, and I brought up that I didn't want the ring. I understand that it's really important in his family, but it feels wrong to have a ring that belonged to someone else. I told him that the ring can still be passed down, but I want another ring that was bought with me in mind. He thinks that I'm putting too much thought behind it. I already think that his parents don't particularly love me, so I'm also worried about what they will think. I don't want to look at the ring every day and know it was someone else's. I have trouble telling my boyfriend how I feel about it because every time I try, he thinks that I just want a bigger diamond or something, but I really just want something sentimental. Am I the asshole?
Hell no. She's in the clear. That boy, mama's boy, mama's boy, mama's boy. Stop it. Stop it. It's a ring from somebody who got separated from their husband. It's a ring that's got bad juju. Throw it in the ocean. I don't know. Maybe don't go that far. But I do not think that this lady is asking for too much for her own ring. It's not about the diamond. It's
about the thought. It's about wanting something where he was thinking about her when he picked it out. I completely agree. I think especially because he was already married with this ring to someone else, I think that makes it especially bad.
Oh, I have to go back here.
Yeah.
He already used this ring with...
Yes. He was married before me, and it was her wedding ring until they separated.
I misunderstood. I thought the mom got divorced from the dad.
This he is did.
Way worse.
Yes. I don't know why he thinks this is okay, giving the same ring to two people.
No.
Am I weird?
Take it, pawn it, get the pennies that you can get from it.
I don't know about that, because it's a family heirloom from like other previous, you know,
give it
passed
back.
Down from family members.
Give it to, you know what, his, I don't know, if they have a daughter or...
Right, if they have kids someday, they can still pass it down. She said that that's fine to keep it in the family. She just wants her own ring for herself.
Again, and diamond, who cares? Honestly, and this guy has got the wrong mindset about diamonds. I'm going to tell you right now, people, diamonds are a joke, all right? They're a joke. Somewhere in our yard, we can all come and have a treasure hunt one day. There's a very expensive diamond in our yard. Do a CZ, okay? Save the...
Moissanite, even better.
Get a moissanite, okay?
Yeah.
Save the $5,000 to $8,000 you're going to spend on a diamond... And go overseas, take a trip, build memories. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the CZ or moissanite looks just as good in a ring. You get it replaced every couple of years. You clean it every 6 months. It looks just as good. And you can get a way bigger CZ than you can a diamond ever, period.
Now that is a hot take.
That's my take. I think is diamonds are bullshit. Yeah.
And if you do buy a diamond, please make sure that you have it insured so that when you do lose it, either in your backyard or where I think it is in Lake Superior, then you can replace that investment.
We'll never know.
We will never, ever know.
Trash. This guy has got it all wrong. To give a ring to somebody twice. Oof. Mm-mm.
Right. Don't do it. It's not about the size of the diamond. It's about the thought behind it.
Yeah, somebody else wore that ring.
All right, should we see what the people say?
Yeah, I mean, and there's got to be other do's and don'ts of proposals, right?
Yeah, that is definitely a don't. Don't propose with a ring that you already proposed to somebody else. Like, if that was your journey and that happened, that's fine, but don't use the same ring. Get something else.
Yeah, yep. Make sure that if you're going to propose in a public setting, like at a sports event or in the middle of a restaurant, like it's got to have some big time meaning to that other person, I think. Otherwise, I think it's cheesy.
Right.
Tasteless.
2,700 upvotes. You're worried that they'll think you just want a bigger ring. Your boyfriend's saying you're putting too much thought into this. when you bring up his last wife wearing it, I think that says, I'm too cheap to buy a ring. Oh, yeah, see?
He's a cheap ass.
No woman on this planet wants to wear an ex's ring. Family ring or not, there's bad juju out there. They yes. agree. All right. Yeah, another one. Who wants to wear a ring that their partner's ex wore? That's just ick. Your fiance can pass that ring down to a future kid and buy you a new ring.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
And here's another one. It's funny you bring up the bigger ring. I was engaged for like a week, and my ex-fiance bought me a ring that was absolutely nothing like I wanted. I actually really don't like diamonds. I think they're super boring. I also don't really like metal rings because I'm allergic to metal. He got me a gold ring with tiny diamonds all over it. Regardless of whether I could wear it or not, due to my allergy, it was the ugliest thing I think I've seen engagement ring-wise. I felt really bad about hating the ring and also super superficial. We both worked at Walmart together, and I ran into him returning the ring a week after I broke up with him. He bought it at Walmart for $66. By the way, running into your ex-fiance who is returning the ring at the place where you work is one of the most awkward things in the world. And I never told him my feelings about the ring. I told him it was beautiful, but a while after we broke up, there was a rumor going around, and I know it came from him that I broke up with him because of how cheap the ring was. Because of my hatred for the ring, it kind of sank into my brain and made me think terrible things about myself, when in reality, in fact, he chose that ring when I openly talked about my feelings about diamonds and my allergy. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. Maybe when you work at Walmart, $66 is 3 months worth of salary. I'm not sure.
No. Well, and also I think that's a dumb rule.
I'm just kidding.
I don't think like the cost of the ring is the important part. I think it's the paying attention to the kind of ring that your partner wants, because they're a beautiful like wooden ring. I mean, that might not be the most durable, but there are other rings that are not diamonds, like you talked about before, that are not thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
And I need to take some comments back here.
Okay.
I'm reflecting on what I said.
Okay.
I know people that work at Walmart, and you can make a very good living working for Walmart. So that it was not to bash
Don't
anybody.
Knock it.
I'm not knocking
Don't
anybody
knock
that
it.
Works at Walmart. But if you are spending $66 on a ring, you are a cheap ass.
My brother
ass.
And sister yeah. worked at Walmart for years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And your sister-in-law.
Oh, yeah. My brother and sister-in-law met at Walmart, and they are still successfully married.
There, yeah.
Neither of them still work there,
so,
but.
Yeah, I just think that's, I don't know.
You being a in marketing might enjoy this one.
All right.
A few years ago, a local jeweler did a radio ad telling people that if they had a ring from a failed relationship, they should trade in their bad luck diamonds and get a new one for a fresh start. To me, there was a real ick factor in that pitch. But another person said, ha ha ha, sounds like a brilliant marketing though.
Yeah, but we know people that have gotten engaged and it hasn't gone the distance. They haven't gotten married and they end up with the ring. And what do you do with that ring? Like, you've already given it to somebody else and you take it, you sell it, you get rid of it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, hold on to that juju.
Yeah, you get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So we even know, I kind of love this story. We know some friends. This was a really funny, cute story where I'm just going to use their names. So do you remember their engagement ring story?
I know it was.
Let me tell you.
But go ahead.
Yes. Let me tell you. So Anna had been talking about how she really loved yellow diamonds and how she thought they were so beautiful. Like, you know, the real, like type of diamond, a yellow diamond. Mm-hmm. And was like, oh, all right. So he went and he was picking out a ring for her and he was looking through all the diamonds and he saw one that was really yellow. And it was great because it was like one of the cheaper diamonds. So he's like, this is fantastic. She's going to love this yellow diamond. This is what she likes. This is what she has told me that she really wants. This was going to be perfect for her. So he does a beautiful proposal and she gets the ring, looks at the ring and she says yes right away. But then in retrospect, she goes, I think she, you know, called her mom. She's like, I'm so excited, but I hate the ring because it was not a true yellow diamond.
No, it was a shitty, shitty diamond.
It was just one where the clarity was like not good at all.
Kim, oh, if you ever hear this.
I love it.
I love you.
I love it.
You're so good.
I know. And they're just the sweetest people in the planet Earth. So then there's the question. Okay, so if you are proposed to with a ring that you really don't care for and isn't you, is it okay to tell your partner and to exchange it?
Yes.
Okay, because that's what Anya did. And it worked out really well for them. Jim was not, as far as I know, he was not offended in the least and was more like, oh, I just misunderstood you. I didn't know that yellow diamonds were like an actual type.
Right. No, I think it's totally acceptable if you honestly, it's something you have to wear for potentially the rest of your life, right? That's what you're expecting when you get married. Nobody's expecting to get divorced. So absolutely, you can say, hey, this isn't what I was really thinking of. Would you be okay if we went in and we could pick out something together now?
Yeah, hard conversation to have. I'm sure that would be really tough.
And I think most people are going to get it.
Yeah.
Some people might be like, well, I put a lot of time and effort into thinking about what I was going to get you. And
I can see how that would be hurtful.
And I designed it and I just thought it was, you know, that person probably put, because they're asking you to marry them. So they obviously, and I say that, how do I put this? I assume they put a lot of thought into it, that they just weren't out there nilly-willy, be like, yeah, fuck it, I'll get that ring.
Sounds like that $166 ring guy, though. I mean, he didn't know about her allergy or her dislike for diamonds, period.
They broke up a week later, so yeah. I don't think they were together very long.
Yeah. Yeah, that's red flag.
Maybe it was a one-night stand or an oops.
Maybe. I don't know. I think having to wear your mother-in-law's engagement ring is bad enough. Having to wear your would-be husband's ex-wife's engagement ring? The whole point of these rings is symbolism. What's the symbolism there? You're the second choice that just gets the cast-offs from the first? Or that you're just a replacement expected to fill the shoes of the one that left? It seems pretty heinous to me. I can't fathom him wanting the ring back. Never mind trying to use it with the second wife.
If it's a family heirloom, I'd want the ring back. I don't know how many generations it made it through.
Well, yeah. So that's the question. So if you propose and the engagement is broken off, so who gets to keep the ring? Is it a gift that you gave that your partner, or do you get it back, or do they keep it? I personally would give it back. I think it's more of a promise. It's not like a free and clear gift. That's my perspective.
Yeah, because it was, I'll say it was a proposal. So, right? It's
right.
A proposal.
It is.
It was, will you marry me?
Mm-hmm.
Put this on your finger if you will. Okay. And then you're basically, if you end the relationship, the contract is then broken. So,
all right.
And especially if she was the one to end the relationship, like, hey, I broke the promise of.
Right.
Now, on the other hand,
What if he breaks the promise?
I'm going to play his devil's advocate because, yeah, what if he breaks a promise or he does something really dumb or he, like, you know, damages that relationship beyond repair?
Like, what if he was cheating or something? And yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, then maybe I'm okay with them keeping it.
So if it's a mutual thing and it's just not working out, I think you give the ring back. If, you know, she's the one to end it, you give the ring back. If he's the one that
fucks up,
messes up, or, you know, messes it up,
right,
then
it's kind of
love is war.
Love is war. There you go. Also, I think if someone were to receive a ring or a jewelry item or whatnot, and it was just a gift, like Christmas present or whatnot, don't give that back.
No, never. Those are yours. That's a gift.
All right, proposals. Do you have any proposals for me? Do you propose we wrap this up?
I think before we wrap up, like, when it comes to proposals, again, I think that everyone is on their own timeline. Everyone has their own experiences revolving around marriage, mm-hmm. what marriage is, what marriage entails. I think communication is key prior, during the relationship. It should be talked about what that looks like, what you each have experienced.
Right. This proposal shouldn't be a complete surprise.
And I think that it is very much right person, right place, right time.
Look at how wise you sound.
Thank you. Yeah, and I just think if you honestly don't feel ready, I don't think you need to propose because someone else wants that proposal to happen.
Or because it's society's expectation and you're feeling pressure from family or friends or whatnot.
Right. And when we look at the first story, right, we're 10 years in, hypothetically speaking, she wants to get married. Let's say he changed his mind and he doesn't. He needs to be able to communicate that.
Right away.
Right away, that it's not in his vision to get married. Right. You need to be fair to all parties. So, proposals. Should you or should you not?
I like it. That sounds good. And you know what I realized we forgot to do at the beginning?
Oh, dang it. Cheers.
Well, yes, cheers. We didn't cheers, but we also didn't introduce ourselves.
Go ahead.
All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Amy.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Midwest Married.
Midwest Married.
We hope you enjoyed.
Thank you. Subscribe, follow, like. Pow!
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.